In our local news, there's campaign mania at every turn, and with the election now 2 weeks from Tuesday, it's only going to intensify. As many of us are caught up in the fray, it can be helpful to have an outsider's opinion. We called political junkie Ken Rudin to get just that, and he joins us now. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Beth Ann.
Thanks very much for being here. Looking at our primary, we had a drive to defeat an incumbent governor. And we also had, you know, two Dems who were duking it out, not what the rest of the country was seeing. Did that really make for a more interesting primary, perhaps, than the general election we're going to have in a couple of weeks?
Well, in these one-party states, and of course Hawaii seems to be a one-party state, although they do elect Republicans to the governorship every now and then, but in one-party states, it's the primaries we pay attention to. But what's fascinating about Hawaii, of course, is that when you think of the primaries this year, you think of the disruption in the Republican Party. You think of the Tea Party Republicans against the so-called establishment wing of the Republican Party, and they've been battling from all the states for the last two or three election cycles. Now, when you thought of Hawaii this year, all you thought about was the Democratic primary for the Senate, for Brian Chatt's Senate seat, and it just seems to be pretty remarkable that in a state where everywhere in a country when everybody's concerned about ideological wings on the Republican side, you have one state that's really that it's where the Democratic primary, whoever wins the Democratic primary, seems to win in November.
Also, the fact that we had such a movement toward the primary with people looking to see whether or not Governor Abercrombie would be able to make it through, or whether, in fact, as many predictions had it, he wouldn't and would go down in a landslide defeat. Still, we had this very low turnout, Ken. What do you make of that?
Well, it's certainly not exclusive to Hawaii. We think of all these states, and you're trying to get, first of all, part of the problem is that a lot of people are not happy with Congress, and that's true about both parties. But even in races for governor around the country, in California, where they opened up the election system to get more and more participation in it, in the primary, 18% of the eligible voters voted in California. So that's not a Hawaii problem, but I mean, people will say, well, if you give us better candidates, we'll get more people voting. But I think it's more significant than that. And I don't know if it's just distrust and unease with Washington or the sense that government is not working both nationally and at the local level. But clearly the trend is going for smaller and smaller turnout, and that's not good for democracy, obviously.
You mentioned, and we talk about this all the time, about how we're a shades of blue state. Yet we've got a pretty close race, or what seems to be a pretty close race, between the Democratic candidate Mark Takai and GOP's candidate Charles DeJoux for the CD1 seat. What do you make of that?
Well, I think there's several reasons. I mean, the reason it's close, of course, is because DeJoux has been in Congress before, even though he only served 7 months. But, I mean, his argument is that, look, think of what life is like in Hawaii. Everything is so expensive. Gas is expensive. Food is expensive. Electricity and things like that are so expensive. And so maybe we need a different approach. And DeJoux will make the argument that as a member of the majority party, and everybody expects the Republican Party not only to keep the majority in the House, but to extend it as well on November 4th, he'll make the argument that, I'll have an opportunity for the majority in Congress to pay attention to Hawaii. But Mark Takai is doing a lot of tactics similar to what you're seeing other Democrats around the country doing, that whether it's legitimate or not, whether it's true or not, he's running against an opponent as being a Tea Party Republican. Now, I mean, just from what I've observed from DeJoux's 7 months in Congress, he is hardly an ultra-conservative. He's hardly a Tea Party Republican. But again, it works in many states. And in a state that is loyally Democrat and overwhelmingly Democrat as Hawaii is, perhaps it's a tactic that could work.
Ken, I mean, you're making the point that he's not a Tea Partyist. He says that DeJoux says he's a centrist. How does that sync with what you see?
Well, I think he is in all fairness, the Republican Party has moved way to the right in Congress. I mean, John Boehner finds himself battling the Tea Party as much as he does battling fighting Democrats. But I think because the Republican Party has moved so far to the right, it would be kind of silly and misleading to think of DeJoux as one of the Tea Party faithful. So he probably is in the center, but of course, maybe the center in Congress may be far to the right in Hawaii politics, and that's the argument Takai is trying to make.
As that shift has been occurring, do you see this as being a potentially good thing for Republicans in Hawaii?
Well, I mean, I think that's the frustration that a lot of Republicans are saying in Hawaii. Of course, there are not a lot of Republicans in Hawaii, but if there were, there would be a lot of complaining about saying that it's not working here. I mean, given all the problems we have with expenses, you could make the case that, it failed under Abercrombie. It's failing under its solid Democratic leadership in the Senate. Of course, as I always like to point out on my podcast, no Republican since Hiram Fong in 1970 has been elected to the Senate as a Republican from Hawaii. So Republicans say, look, why don't you give us a shot, and see what it's like? But the Democrats could say, well, we see what's going on in the House with the Tea Party and the ideological battles that are going on day in and day out. Maybe that's not what Hawaii voters are looking forward to.
Yeah, just a couple of years ago, we saw the end of Linda Lingle's reign as governor. Where was that an aberration?
Well, something, whenever you think of people being elected to the Congress, whether it's Linda Lingle, to the governorship, or, when there's an open House seat, when Democrats are fighting each other, I mean, that's basically how DeJoux won, elected to Congress several years ago. He just, there were Democrats battling each other, and he took advantage of it. So, I mean, that's basically, that's how Republicans seem to win. The question is whether they can hold on to it. I mean, this is another battle you see in the governor's races here. You have a battle between the Democratic nominee and the former Democrat, the former mayor of Honolulu, Mufi Hanneman, who is theoretically could split the Democratic base. But the Republicans need more than a split Democratic opposition to make their case in Hawaii. And maybe if one of these guys, whether it's in the governor's race or DeJoux in Congress, if one of them wins, then perhaps they can make the argument that this is what the Republican Party stands for.
Okay, let's talk about that, since you brought up that three-way race, which some pollsters here say really isn't a three-way race. You're really looking at Iona and David Ige, who we spoke at length with last night on Town Square, but that with Mufi Hanneman, it gives him the opportunity to say things and to do things because he is running as the third dark horse situation, that he can say things that might be uncomfortable for others to say. Does that put him in a unique situation?
Well, it certainly puts him in a comfortable position, and I watched some of that debate, and I mean, if anything, Hanneman looked pretty relaxed and sure of himself and confident of the facts. I mean, you can make the case that it's a solid Democratic state, and the polls will show that that Ige is ahead because of the Democrats are so used to winning in Hawaii. Although we did mention Linda Lingle, but then you watch Ige in the debate, and he seemed kind of like stammering and unsure and a little, tentative during the debate, whereas Hanneman had this very breezy, confident style. So sometimes you can have all the issues in your favor as you want, but sometimes personalities make a big difference. We always think of Bush versus Gore in that debate in 2000, and Gore was supposed to wipe the floor with Bush, but Bush came off as very comfortable, is very relaxed in his own skin, much more so than Gore, and that may have swayed some voters as well. So don't discount the personal aspects to candidates in these kind of debates.
Do you think, given what you've just said, then, that it's not going to be so much of a slam dunk for David Ige?
Well, I don't know what a slam dunk means anymore. I mean, everything, we've been surprised by so many things this year. There have been so many surprises. I mean, the Abercrombie, even though we knew he was in trouble in the primary, I mean, he just got clobbered. And you see there's a bunch of unpopular Democrats and unpopular governors around the country, but they still survived the primary. And this was a wipeout. So who knows what's going to happen? I just kind of think that, I believe the polls. I believe that Ige has the lead, and I'm sure that's the case. But surprises have happened. Pat Psyche was not supposed to win when she won. A lot of surprises. We'll see what happens. I think Ige wins, but it could be closer than the polls indicate.
All right, one last question, Ken. Is Hawaii really in a new era in its political history, and not just because that some of these faces in Congress have been changing since the days of the Dans? Are we really in a new place?
Well, it's, you know, what's interested me, and I like how you put it, the era of the Dems. I mean, that has changed. But it seems like, forget about Democrats versus Republicans in Hawaii, it seems like there is a cultural change going on in Hawaii. There's a difference between the old Inoue and Oe kind of leadership with you know, Hawaiian-born and Asian candidates, and more white and younger candidates. So there seems to be a cultural divide, a generational divide in Hawaii that may be less about Democrats and Republicans and may be about the future of Hawaii versus the past. And that could be the future of Hawaii politics as well. I mean, does Hanabusa run again in 2016? A lot of things we're looking forward to. And again, the Democrats still have to get their act together, at least their party, in order, because these two wings of the party seem to be still colliding.
Which means that we get to have another conversation, I hope, sometime in the future. Thanks very much, Ken, for joining us this morning.
Thanks so much.
Ken Rudin is an expert in politics and campaign history. And for most of the past 20 years, Ken was the eyes and ears of NPR's political coverage in his position as a political editor and resident political junkie.